It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Tonight, President Biden's controversial fist bump seen around the world. President Biden's high-stakes visit to Saudi Arabia. The fist bump with the Saudi crown prince, who U.S. intelligence concluded was responsible for journalist Jamal Khashoggi's murder. Biden saying on the campaign trail he would make Saudi Arabia a pariah. Now his visit, the meeting with the crown prince, the effort to bring down oil prices and gas prices here at home. And what the president said when he was asked about that fist bump, about what he said in that meeting, and did he bring up the murder of that journalist, Mary Bruce, traveling with the president. Tonight, the new testimony, a witness in the January 6th investigation. A D.C. police officer who ABC News has learned has talked about those heated moments when former President Trump wanted to be taken up to the Capitol instead of the White House. Also tonight here, the Secret Service. How do they explain the erased text messages from January 5th and 6th? Rachel Scott with late reporting from The Hill tonight. The coronavirus here in the U.S. and tonight this number, 85% of Americans now live in a medium or high risk area with this new variant sweeping the country. What Dr. Jha is now saying tonight about the current booster and how much it could help if you get this strain of the virus. Matt Gutman tonight. This evening, authorities in Ohio now say the black motorist shot and killed by Akron police had 46 gunshot wounds. What his family is now saying tonight. The war in Ukraine tonight, Russian forces hitting new civilian targets. And it all comes just one day after that horrific attack that took nearly two dozen lives, including a four-year-old girl. Tonight here, we hear from that little girl's grandmother, her message for the Russians. There was also late word coming in tonight on the cause of death of Ivana Trump, what the New York City medical examiner is now saying. Also, the remarkable images from Buffalo, New York tonight after that horror, what we saw today. And we honor an American tonight, an Olympic hero, and an honor long overdue.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another week together. And we begin tonight with President Biden's high-stakes visit to Saudi Arabia and the fist bump with the crown prince today that led to immediate outrage from many. The president hoping to bring down oil and gas prices here at home and to help bring stability to the Middle East. But after Biden promised to treat the kingdom as a pariah state for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, many questions about this visit and now that fist bump seen around the world. The president arriving directly from Israel after Saudi Arabia made an historic announcement opening its airspace to all civilian air carriers, including Israel, a key step toward normalization between the two Mideast nations. And then arriving at the palace, that public greeting with the crown prince and then the fist bump seen by all of those cameras. A group meeting with the crown prince and his ministers, the working session lasting about 2 hours. And at a briefing afterward, President Biden heralded all that they accomplished on peace, technology, and energy, he said. And the president said at the very top of their meeting, he did bring up Khashoggi's murder, a murder U.S. intelligence believes the crown prince was responsible for. How the president answered those questions today, senior White House correspondent Mary Bruce leading us off, traveling with the president in Saudi Arabia.
It's the image the Saudis were hoping for, but back in the U.S., it's drawing outrage. President Biden fist-bumping Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, the man the U.S. concluded ordered the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. As a candidate, Biden vowed to make Saudi Arabia pay the price and turn them into a global pariah. Today, the Saudis eager to release this picture of a warm greeting. The crown prince then hosting Biden and regional leaders.
Thank you, guys. Thank
President Biden. Is Saudi Arabia still here, Biden?
Afterwards, Biden telling reporters he did bring up Khashoggi at the very top of the meeting.
I was straightforward and direct in discussing it. I made my view crystal clear. I said very straightforwardly, for an American president to be silent on an issue of human rights, is this consistent with inconsistent with who we are and who I am?
Biden then asked how the crown prince responded.
He basically said that he was not personally responsible for it. I indicated I thought he was.
Khashoggi's employer, The Washington Post, calling that fist bump shameful, saying it gave the crown prince the redemption he has been desperately seeking.
You're coming under a lot of fire for your fist bump with the crown prince.
But Biden's tone grew serious when he was asked about Khashoggi's fiance, who today tweeted that the blood of MBS's next victim is on your hands.
I'm sorry she feels that way. I was straightforward back then. I was straightforward today.
Biden argued the trip was worth it, saying the Saudis will help lower gas prices in the U.S.
And I'm doing all I can to increase the supply for the United States of America, which I expect to happen.
He says Americans will start to feel that impact at the pump in the coming weeks. And he cited security gains in the region. Saudi Arabia today announcing it's opening its airspace to Israeli flights, an easing of relations.
That is a big deal.
Mary Bruce with us tonight, live from Saudi Arabia. And Mary, the president obviously aware of what he said in the past on the campaign trail, that he would make a Saudi Arabia a pariah, the kingdom a pariah. Now he's there in Saudi Arabia. Of course, the fist bump that you pointed out there, the meeting with the crown prince. And we know what the president wants here. He said it right there in your report. He wants to bring down gas prices here at home. This was obviously a calculation made by the White House.
And David, the president knew he would face this condemnation. This was a risk he was willing to take. For the president, it was worth it to try in part to bring Americans some relief. But even if the Saudis are able to up the flow of oil, it's not clear how much relief that could provide to Americans back home. What is clear tonight, David, this visit, those images, it is exactly what the Saudis wanted. David.
Mary Bruce traveling with the president on this visit to the Middle East. Mary, thank you again tonight. In the meantime, to a major development in the January 6th investigation, tonight sources telling ABC News that a Washington, D.C. police officer has now testified before the January 6th committee today, in fact, describing a heated exchange between former President Trump and the Secret Service when the president wanted to go to the Capitol instead of the White House. And tonight, here the other major question: how does the Secret Service explain those erased messages from January 5th and 6th. Again tonight, Rachel Scott.
Tonight, sources tell ABC News the January 6th committee has heard new testimony from a D.C. police officer describing a heated exchange between former President Donald Trump and his Secret Service agents when they refused to take him to the Capitol after his rally. It comes after White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson testified she was told the president lunged at the agents.
Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, "I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now." To which Bobby responded, "Sir, we have to go back to the West Wing." The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel."
Hutchinson says she was told the president then grabbed at the agent. Today, sources tell ABC News a D.C. police officer whose vehicle was part of the presidential motorcade says they witnessed a heated exchange. After Hutchinson's testimony, sources close to the Secret Service say the president never put his hands on the agents or grabbed at the steering wheel, but they concede he was angry. Tonight, the Secret Service coming under fire itself after word the agency deleted text messages from January 5th and 6th. Even though they had been asked to hand them over to the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security.
We are obviously very concerned that texts from January 5 and January 6 have gone missing. If those texts are gone, we are determined to find them.
The Secret Service claims these messages were erased as part of a device replacement program, adding any insinuation that the Secret Service maliciously deleted text messages following a request is false.
All right, Rachel Scott back with us live at the Capitol tonight. Of course, questions to come on the Secret Service and these messages. In the meantime, Rachel, as you know, there was another headline today, this one involving an Army veteran, one of the rioters convicted of assaulting police officers on January 6th. We learned that this Army veteran was sentenced to more than 3 years in prison and that he had reenlisted in the Army after the riot.
Exactly, David. James Moult was seen pepper spraying officers on January 6th. He was fired from his union job, but somehow he was able to reenlist in the military. He did not disclose his actions to the Army about what he did on January 6th. Well, tonight, that judge did sentence him to more than 3 years in prison, insisting that he is not a patriot, but a criminal, David.
All right, Rachel Scott with us again. Thank you, Rachel, all week long here. There's also late word coming in tonight in the death of former President Trump's first wife, Ivana Trump. The 73-year-old was found dead yesterday in her Manhattan apartment. The New York Medical Examiner tonight saying she died of blunt impact injuries to her torso, sustained as a result of a fall. Officials say her death was an accident, not suspicious. Authorities say she'd been found at the bottom of the stairs in her home. We turn next tonight here to the pandemic and troubling new numbers as this new coronavirus subvariant sweeps across the country. In fact, tonight here, take a look at the map. 85% of Americans are now living in areas where authorities are concerned about these numbers, where transmission rates are now medium or high. Areas in yellow, they're medium. Those in red, they're particularly concerned over high rates of transmission. Tonight here, what Dr. Jha is now saying about the current booster that's available and how much it could help if you get this new strain of the virus. Here's our chief national correspondent, Matt Guppin, now.
Tonight, with that highly infectious BA5 subvariant spreading fast, the number of COVID-positive Americans in the hospital is once again climbing to its highest level since early March. But in LA County, doctors at Providence Cedars-Sinai say, unlike past surges, they're seeing fewer patients in respiratory failure.
We're seeing a lot more patients that have chronic illness in the elderly population. I'm seeing much less of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Still, experts say the numbers are steadily climbing.
It sort of feels like the public is deaf to the reality of this news. This BA5 variant is hyper contagious. And right behind it, new variants are coming.
85% of Americans are now living in an elevated COVID risk area. More than half the population now in those orange high-risk counties where the CDC says you should be masking indoors. In those yellow medium-risk areas, they say consider masking based on your individual risk.
Masking where appropriate, vaccinating people who aren't vaccinating, and boosting people who are ready and eligible for their boost. We can do that, but we're not doing it to the extent that we should be doing it.
And more than half of eligible Americans still haven't gotten their first booster. But a new CDC analysis shows protection against initial Omicron variants increased with each booster shot, suggesting the current vaccine may still protect against serious illness from BA5.
Very, very clear in my mind that your risk of ending up in the ICU is dramatically higher if you have not gotten a booster, if you've not gotten that third shot.
And David, Dr. Jha and the doctors here with a simple message to anyone over 50. If you have not had a COVID shot in 2022, get one and get it now. Dr. Jha saying it could save your life. It might not prevent you from contracting BA5, but it drastically reduces the chances of being hospitalized and of dying. David.
Yeah, they're saying not to wait until the booster that's more directly associated with the subvariant this fall. Go ahead and get the boosters now. All right, Matt, that's an important point. Thank you. We're going to turn to Akron now, Akron, Ohio, in the case of the unarmed black motorist shot by police. Tonight, the medical examiner there saying the preliminary autopsy report shows that Jalen Walker, who died last month, had 46 gunshot wounds. ABC's Mola Lenghi on what authorities are now saying, reaction from the family tonight, and the body cam video. And we warn once again, it is disturbing.
Tonight, an Ohio medical examiner revealing Jalen Walker suffered 46 gunshot wounds or graze injuries after Akron police opened fire while chasing him.
We are not able to say which bullet killed him. He had several very devastating injuries.
Five of those 46 wounds found on Walker's back.
I can't indicate whether or not that was during a time of running away.
The Summit County medical examiner saying a toxicology report came back negative for alcohol or drugs in Walker's system. The 25-year-old was killed in June after a traffic stop turned into a police chase. Body camera video capturing the nearly 6-mile pursuit when authorities say Walker fired a weapon.
21 shots fired. That vehicle just had a shot come out of its door.
Authorities say he later ran from the vehicle, police attempting to tase him before Walker eventually stops and turns towards them, prompting 8 officers to shoot dozens of times. In a statement tonight, Walker's family says they are devastated by the findings and still await a public apology from the police department.
Well, David, Jalen Walker was unarmed the moment that he was shot, though police say they did find a gun and a loaded magazine in his car. But tonight, the medical examiner's office says that his hands were not tested for gunshot residue. That's because those tests have been discontinued by that medical examiner's office as well as the FBI. David. All right, Mola Lenghi tonight. Mola, a difficult story, but we do love that you're on our team now. Welcome. We're going to continue with the other news this Friday night. There is late word this evening that a fugitive drug kingpin who was convicted of killing a DEA agent has now been captured in Mexico. Rafael Caro Quintero is the former leader of the Guadalajara cartel. He was convicted in Mexico for the 1985 murder of DEA agent Enrique Camarena, but released early by a judge in 2013 and on the run ever since. The capture coming just days after Mexico's president met President Biden at the White House. On this Friday night, we turn to the war in Ukraine and new Russian attacks on civilians tonight, just one day after those missiles struck a central city, killing at least 23 people, including three children. One of them, 4-year-old Liza, seen in this video shortly before that attack, her stroller seen afterward at the scene. Liza's mother survived but was critically injured. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge tonight with the child's grandmother.
Tonight, Russia ramping up its ruthless attacks on civilians. The eastern city of Dnipro, the latest target. Videos circulating online showing locals watching as missiles rain down. Ukrainian officials confirming at least three people killed in the attack. A U.S. official saying Russian strikes killing up to 150 innocent people in just the past 2 weeks. And new details tonight on Russia's deadly attack on the city of Vinnytsia in central Ukraine. A U.S. official saying the missiles were fired from a submarine, adding there was no sign of a military target in the area. Among those killed, 4-year-old Liza, seen in this video, thought to be taken just before the attack. This, her stroller at the scene. Her mother tonight in intensive care. Her family telling us she's unaware her daughter is dead. We met Liza's grandmother at the hospital. I hate all Russians, she says. They took the most precious thing in my life, an innocent 4-year-old child.
Well, the Ukrainian military saying tonight that they've used U.S.-supplied HIMARS rocket systems to strike more than 30 key Russian military targets in the past 2 weeks. David?
Tom Sufi Burridge tonight. Thank you, Tom. Back here at home tonight to President Biden's agenda and another blow. Senator Joe Manchin will not support the climate change agenda amid concerns, he says, about record-high inflation. Manchin informing his party he will not support spending on climate programs or raising taxes on wealthy Americans and corporations. But he is open to supporting plans to lower prescription drug costs for seniors and extending health care subsidies. President Biden oversees responding quickly, urging Congress then to immediately approve those health care measures before the August recess. The House, by the way, today passed two abortion bills aimed at protecting access to abortion in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe. One protects women who travel across state lines to get an abortion and the providers who treat them. The other, more sweeping measure, would enshrine Roe versus Wade into law, but both dead on arrival in the Senate. Senate Republicans have already rejected both. There is still much more ahead on World News Tonight this Friday, including the pilot making an emergency landing on an interstate in this country. They say he was drunk.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight here, a pilot is facing charges tonight accused of flying while drunk, his small plane making an emergency landing overnight on I-70 southeast of Kansas City, Missouri. The pilot told controllers that he had run out of fuel. He suffered minor injuries and was taken to a local hospital. Tonight, keeping their commitment to reopen, the Tops supermarket in Buffalo, New York today did just that. A moment of silence was held before the first shoppers arrived, the store completely remodeled. Store workers welcoming shoppers back. So many told us after that mass shooting that their grocery store, the only major store there, was so key to their community. Today, the aisles packed with fresh produce, fully stocked. Still painful, but a promise kept. Finally tonight here, the famous U.S. Olympian, his medals, and then the honors stripped. Long considered one of the most controversial decisions in sports. Tonight here, a victory long overdue. 110 years in the making. Born in 1887, a member of the Sac and Fox tribe in Oklahoma, U.S. Olympian Jim Thorpe is considered by sports historians one of the greatest athletes of all time. In 1912, winning gold in the decathlon and pentathlon in Stockholm, becoming the first Native American ever to win gold for the U.S. But 6 months later, his medals were stripped after he'd been paid to play in minor league baseball games, which was a violation of Olympic amateur athlete rules in that era. The decision was among the most controversial in sports history. At the time, Thorpe saying, "I was not very wise to the ways of the world. I did not know I was doing wrong." He'd go on to play professional baseball, football, and to encourage the next generation. For years, his family and supporters fought for him to regain his Olympic gold. In 1982, the IOC gave him that gold, but still did not recognize him as the sole winner in those events. An organization named in his honor never gave up.
He is the greatest. He is not just an American Indian hero. He is a national hero.
Please sign our petition calling on the Olympic Committee to right this wrong.
And tonight here, their work has been heard. On the 110th anniversary of Jim Thorpe winning gold, the International Olympic Committee has now reinstated him as the sole gold medal winner in those events. And tonight, the organization that fought for him, Bright Path Strong, telling us we are overjoyed. This is a day that will lift up Native American youth and provide them with a beacon of light for generations to come. And so we choose Jim Thorpe and the family and supporters who never gave up the fight for his medals and his standing. I'm David Muir. Whit and Lindsay are here this weekend. Good night.